Our political system is founded on the notion of the potential and the power and the importance of every individual. Thomas Jefferson, though he is ironically painted as a skeptic of about religion, actually grounded human rights in divine authority. He memorably wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." What Jefferson said politically, the early Baptists said theologically, as they stressed the importance and the power of every individual. They said God has endowed each human being with the capacity and competency of soul to make decisions regarding ultimate concern for themselves. Each person has been endowed by God with competency of soul to make decisions of faith for their own lives without any outside coercion or control. This led to the Baptist emphasis on the priesthood of each believer. Every person under the leadership of God's Spirit can fill a role in the divine kingdom. Everyone has the power to embody some element of God's grace and will and strength. Every believer is a priest, fulfills a priestly function, because each person has been endowed by God with the ability to do so. Jefferson and the early Baptist were agreed that a divine mark is upon every human being, and that divine mark is the guarantor of human dignity. And because each person bears the divine mark, we create a government that is of the people, for the people, and by the people. And yet, I should say to you that the 20th century actually was a debate about which form of government truly guaranteed human stability and human rights. At the beginning of the 20th century, there were quite a number of people who argued only a dictatorship could truly create a harmonious society and guarantee human stability. Only a dictatorship was efficient enough to create a harmonious world. Democracies were too unstable, too chaotic to be entrusted with human society and the establishment of human freedom. Indeed, in the middle of the 20th century, there were many who believed that democracies could not summon the courage necessary to withstand the wiles of dictatorship. Adolf Hitler, before the Battle of Britain, said, "Give me 3 weeks and I will wring Great Britain's neck like a chicken's." But that dictator and his minions vastly underestimated the courage and power of the democratic will. Indeed, they were capable of more blood, toils, tears, and sweat than any dictatorship thought possible. The late Michael Novak, a wonderful writer, winner of the Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion, wrote, "Democracies proved capable of summoning the will and the audacity and the stamina to withstand the dictatorship principle, and they did so effectively that today no dictator can truly assert that a dictatorship form of government is preferable. In practice, humanity discovered that democracy and the power of individuals working collectively can best establish a harmonious society and protect human rights. The right to exercise the freedom of conscience, the right to work together for a harmonious society, those are two of the powers with which each human being has been endowed. But it is not the greatest power. The greatest power is demonstrated in this extraordinary exchange between Jesus and Pilate. Jesus, the pluperfect spiritual creature, and Pilate, the pure pragmatist politician. They operate on different planes. Jesus comes into the world to bear witness to a transcendent truth, a truth that can liberate each human being and give us eternal life and relationship with the divine. All Pilate wants to know is, are you a threat to me? Are you a king? Jesus says, I come to bear witness to truth. I come to bear witness to a realm of transcendent truth, that those who enter into relationship with the divine enjoy a freedom that transcends any political boundaries. My kingdom is not of this world. But I come to bear witness to the truth, and those who are of the truth hear my words and join my movement. Pilate cannot comprehend whatever words Jesus is saying. He can only say in bewilderment and confusion, what is truth? Part of our responsibility as disciples of Jesus Christ is to be claimed by the truth, to cherish the truth, to live the truth, to spread the truth, to embody the truth for our own health and for the health of others. And yet too often we take for granted living in a world of truth. One of the most extraordinary statements of the 20th century was the inauguration speech of a Czechoslovakian playwright by the name of Václav Havel. Havel was the first democratically elected president of Czechoslovakia after it broke free of Soviet domination. And in his inauguration speech, he said, for 40 years, our nation's leaders have stood on the dais and said, everyone is happy, our country is flourishing, our people are pleased with things. He said, you did not elect me president to tell you such lies. Our country is not flourishing. We have manipulated and exploited our people. We have soiled our soil. We have spoiled our earth. Our economy creates things that are useless and can't create anything that we need. But worst of all, we live in a poisoned moral environment because we have lost our appreciation for the truth. We have become accustomed to saying one thing while we think another. He said, it is time for us as a nation to ground our society on a truth that inspires us, a truth that claims us, a truth that grounds us. We have lived our lives too long on Caesar's truth. Caesar's truth, which governments find truth as expedient and malleable according to their needs. We must create a society based on the eternal truth of Jesus Christ, a truth that endures throughout the ages and is not subject to the whims of the politicians. What a remarkable speech. Havel was reminding his citizens and all the citizens of the world that the truth matters. And we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to be shaped by the truth, to honor the truth, to cherish the truth, and to stand for the truth even amidst falsehood. And yet, many of us have lost confidence in the power of each individual. Huge bureaucracies seem to run the world. Huge conglomerates seem to dominate business. We're just an insignificant cog in a great machine. One little Social Security number among millions of numbers. Many of us really believe that Pilate was right. Truth is something to be massaged. Truth becomes whatever the governments say it is. That's why in his prophetic novel, 1984, George Orwell placed his protagonist, Winston Smith, in the, quote, ministry of love, the torture chamber, where he was brainwashed to believe 2 + 2 = 5. Orwell feared that governments would become so powerful, so strong, that they could manipulate the truth to truly make people believe it is whatever the governments say it is. And maybe there is some truth in that prophecy, but it's not the whole truth. I think of a conversation, a modern conversation between Pilate and Judas and Jesus, that took the form of an exchange between the Russian poet Joseph Brodsky and a Soviet judge. Joseph Brodsky was an unknown, unpublished, common poet, but he was on trial in the Soviet Union for being a threat to the state. And the judge said, "What do you do?" He said, "I write, I think, I believe." "There'll be no 'I believe' in this court," said the judge. "Who deigned that you are a poet?" Brodsky said, "Who deigned that I was a rank in the ranks of humankind? How are you a poet? Did you go to school to be a poet?" "No, you didn't." Brodsky said, "I didn't think it was a matter of education." "What do you mean?" "I thought God made me a poet. I thought God made me a poet." For that answer, Joseph Brodsky was sentenced to 5 years of internal exile, and then was banished from his country, where he went on to become the Nobel Prize winner in literature. The very Soviet government that exiled him collapsed. But Brodsky's words endure as a testament to the truth. He knew what Jefferson knew, what those early Baptists knew. The mark of God is upon each individual, and that gives us power to stand for the truth. And the truth is unkillable. The truth is unkillable. Some years ago, I did a funeral in Morganton, North Carolina, and to get to the cemetery, I turned on Sam Irwin Drive. And as I turned on that road, The words of that old senator came to my mind at the end of the Watergate hearings. He said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man shall sow, that also shall he reap." And in that slow baritone, he was calling forth politicians and the whole nation to stand for truth. Because the truth is unkillable. Out of the Soviet gulag rose an Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Out of the Holocaust rose an Elie Wiesel and a Viktor Frankl. Out of the Gestapo prison rose a Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Out of the hellhole of South African prisons rose a Desmond Tutu and a Nelson Mandela. Out of a Birmingham jail rose a Martin Luther King Jr. Each in his own way was willing to die for the truth. But the truth was unkillable. Pilate says to Jesus, "You better talk to me. I have power over you." Jesus says, "You'd have no power but what's given to you by God." Pilate thinks he is in control of this situation, but in fact, Jesus knows he is but a pawn in transcendent powers that he can never understand. You remember that image of 30 years ago? That lone Chinese dissident standing before a row of tanks? Yeah. Those tanks could roll over that man, but they couldn't kill the truth for which he stood. Pilate can crucify Jesus, but he cannot kill his truth. His truth has an eternality and a power that Pilate cannot understand. We, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, the heirs of his promise, we're called to cherish the truth, to stand for the truth, to embody the truth. It's very easy to despair and say, "My life can't make a difference." But you bear the mark of God. You have been empowered with competency of soul. To be shaped by the truth, to cherish the truth, to embody the truth, and to create a society that truly does bring freedom and justice for all. There is no greater power than the power God gives us to be shaped by the truth and to live it to the glory of God and the furtherance of his kingdom. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, you have blessed us with abilities that we do not always understand. You've given us talents we do not always implement. But you have given us power, power to be your witnesses. May we live in accordance with your call. Through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We summon you.